The next argument to be heard this morning is case number 2014-722. And here again, the appellant is the Board of Education of Columbus City Schools versus Franklin County Board of Revision. We have a waiver of argument by the appellee here, and presenting argument for the appellant will be Mr. Gillis.
Thank you. I did realize I was going back to back this morning. But, as discussed in the previous argument, this argument is similar to the previous one, although this case involves an appraisal. However, it still resulted in the standard template form decision with only one or two boilerplate conclusory sentences that attempt to decide all issues in the case. In the present case, an appraisal was presented to the Board of Tax Appeals for the first time that valued the subject property as a non-existent, hypothetical, single 279,244 square foot department store. There was an allegation in the appellee's brief that the Board of Education was the appellant before the Board of Tax Appeals, and that was not correct. In its decision, the BTA summarily accepted this appraisal based upon no actual appraisal criteria. Instead, the BTA's new routine is that any appraisal will be summarily accepted so long as three things occur. The appraiser types the correct as-of date in his report, the appraiser appears to testify, and prepares the report for, quote, tax purposes, whatever that means. The only thing that these three criteria go to are the competency of the appraisal and whether it's even admissible with regard to the property and its value as of January 1st of a particular tax year. The BTA will conduct no analysis of the actual report, the facts, the data, the analysis, or conclusions within the report. In other words, they do no analysis of the probative nature of the report itself. The BTA's decision will contain no findings of fact, no independent analysis or independent conclusions regarding market rents, expenses, capitalization rate, or comparability of the sale comparables contained in the report. In the present case, the Board of Tax Appeals decision fit almost on one side of a single sheet of paper. Not a single relevant fact was mentioned in the decision. In fact, any person reading this decision would have no idea what the property was, let alone what arguments were made with regard to its valuation. As previously discussed, under the Howard standard, the Board of Tax Appeals is required to state what evidence it considered relevant in reaching its determinations. Implicit in this requirement is the axiom that the BTA must state why it finds the evidence relevant, competent, and probative. This was spelled out in the Villa Park decision, which required the BTA to review and consider the record, make factual findings that are supported by the record, and indicate the specific calculations the BTA used to determine the fair market value of the property. Legal arguments in a competing appraisal are essentially the same thing. They raise challenges to an appraisal before the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board of Tax Appeals' job is to resolve those arguments and conflicts between the two sides. The Board of Tax Appeals is now refusing to do any of that.
So in this case, then, there was no appraisal presented to the Board of Revision?
No, there was not.
Okay. And the Board of Revision retained the auditor's valuation?
That is correct.
Okay, and so then the property owner then appealed to the BTA, mm-hmm. presented this appraisal. Now, the school board was represented at the BTA hearing?
Represented at the BTA hearing, cross-examined the appraiser. Legal briefs were filed with extensive arguments as to why the appraisal wasn't competent and probative as to the subject property, most importantly because it valued the property as something that doesn't exist. Which we can get into in just a moment. The only statements in the BTA's decision in this case are that the appraisal was valued the property as of the proper tax lien date. The appraiser appeared in the case and testified. And the appraisal was prepared for tax purposes. And it was based upon those three criteria alone that the appraisal was accepted. Under Dublin Senior Community, before the BTA can rule on, before we can rule on a BTA's decision concerning an appraisal, the BTA must set forth its determination thereon. On remand, as they remanded in that case, the BTA must analyze the appraisal and set forth its reasons for accepting it or rejecting it. Well, one could argue they set forth their reasons, but they have nothing to do with the actual probative nature of the data and conclusions contained in the report. Under General Motors, this court said, and this was when they remanded the case back for a second time, we meant what we said. In our earlier remand, we intended for the BTA, in conformity with the Howard Standard and in compliance with our admonition for clarification, to spell out the steps it took to arrive at the true value of GM's property for the years in question. It went on to specifically state what it expected from the Board of Tax Appeals. It expected what amounts it used for its computation of true value, what evidence it relied upon in determining depreciation or obsolescence, and finally, why it made the particular selections. In this case, the Board of Tax Appeals was required to state why it accepted an appraisal of a hypothetical, non-existent property over the objections and legal arguments of the Board of Education. No such findings can be found in the Board of BTA's one-page decision because it provided no analysis whatsoever because no analysis was ever actually conducted. In fact, you can reach the conclusions of the three marginally relevant criteria by looking at the cover page and page 14 of the appraisal before you ever get to the appraisal analysis in the report. The key facts in this case, as I previously stated, the appraiser appraised the property as something that doesn't exist. The property is a single parcel. It has located on it a 225,000 square foot department store and a 53,000 square foot auto service center. A diagram of this and a map, actually, an overview map, can be found on page 4 of the appraisal. These are separate buildings, they have separate access, they have separate parking. Instead of appraising both buildings as they existed, the appraiser lumped them together as a 279,000 square foot department store and made no research or inquiry with regard to the valuation of an auto service center. I'm sure the Sears, the competitors of the Sears Auto Service Center would love to have their buildings appraised as 279,000 square foot department stores so that they can compete with Sears on an even playing field. But there's no way a standalone auto service center would be valued in this fashion.
Let me ask you, with respect to what the law requires the BTA to do, hypothetically, there could be a case where a party would bring in an appraisal. There wouldn't be an opponent at whatever hearing there was. And the BTA might issue a very short decision saying, we find the appraisal persuasive and we adopt its valuation. That would be a different case from the case we have here, but doesn't the BTA's duty perhaps depend upon whether or not there's opposition, whether or not the adversary has advanced particular arguments, or is it always the BTA's duty to engage in an analysis of the appraisal?
Well, it's always the Board of Tax Appeals' duty to engage in some analysis of the appraisal because it is charged with determining value on an independent basis. So an appraisal that's presented to it with no opposition cannot be summarily accepted just because there's a document in the file. The Board of Tax Appeals has to deem it, through analysis, we hope, to be both competent and probative of value. The standards they're using now only go to the competency of the appraisal. They're not addressing the probative nature. Now, will that decision potentially be far shorter than a decision with opposition? Sure, because there aren't any competing arguments that the BTA has to address. But certainly, the BTA has to address the arguments and not simply, as they're doing in these decisions, and quote, acknowledging them. They're acknowledging that they were made and making no determinations of them. In fact, this court would have no idea, based upon this decision, what the arguments were, because they won't even mention them, let alone analyze them and say why they're accepted or rejected. This court has no idea why the Board of Tax Appeals accepted an appraisal report in this case that values a hypothetical property that doesn't exist. There are two separate buildings here. You can find auto service center comparables. In fact, they were provided by counsel of the Board of Education at the hearing through certified records. But no one would know that from the Board of Tax Appeals decision because it never addresses those arguments.
So the school board presented evidence on this point at the BTA hearing.
In rebuttal examination of the appraiser, certified records of certified documents from the county auditor's office indicating that there were transfers made of auto service centers were presented. There wasn't a great deal of testimony on them because the appraiser wouldn't say that she was aware of them, or she certainly wasn't going to cop to the fact that they were out there when she appraised the property as something it wasn't. What's interesting here is her reasoning for doing so. Her sole basis for appraising this as something it wasn't was because the two buildings were located on the same parcel. And so therefore she lumped them together and provided one market rent for it. However, when we look at her actual comps, she made downward adjustments to her comps because she said that they were smaller than the subject. And typically, larger properties will rent for less than smaller properties. However, the only reason they were larger is because she lumped the second building in with the first. So had she appraised it as it existed, the downward adjustments to the rent wouldn't have been made to the department store component. And under her own theory, upward adjustments would have to have been made to the auto service center component. So the only thing we know here is that this appraisal undervalued the property. And yet we have no analysis of that in the from the Board of Tax Appeals whatsoever. That was her economic unit theory. It makes me think of a multi-building apartment complex located on a single parcel that has one, two, and three bedroom units. Under Mrs. Freed's theory, all of those units, even with differing bedrooms and differing amenities, would all be valued at the same rate because they're all on the same parcel. It's not uncommon for an appraiser, and not difficult for an appraiser, to find market rents for different components of a single building. Think of a regional mall with an anchor store and inline stores. The rent for the inline stores is different than the anchor. Under Ms. Freed's theory, well, it's all valued as a massive department store. In effect, the Board of Tax Appeals granted Sears a bulk discount because it owns two buildings located on a single parcel. Quickly, I want to go, as I see my time is running out. The Ohio Administrative Code also requires the rejection of the appraisal. The sale under OAC 5703-2505G, the sales comparison approach is dependent upon the comparability of the comps. The appraiser didn't even bother to look for auto service center comparables. Made no adjustments for the auto service center component. In fact, made negative adjustments when she meshed this property into something that didn't exist.
Let me then be clear before we finish up. The relief that the school board is seeking here is a determination by this court on the merits, or send it back to the BTA to do what it ought to have done the first time?
Well, we'd be happy with either of those. We believe that the evidence in the record and the arguments made at the Board of Tax Appeals, since the BTA is now making this court do its job, if it so chooses, clearly shows that the appraisal didn't appraise the property as it existed. And we believe that's sufficient to reverse the Board of Tax Appeals and reinstate the auditor's value. There were no errors found in the auditor's record card, unlike East Bank with partial construction or Dayton Montgomery Port Authority with a land valuation factor that had no support.
And there is then an economic unit analysis.
There's an economic unit analysis, but the fact that there's a single economic unit doesn't change the way that you appraise individual components of that economic unit. Alternatively, of course, this court can remand this back to the Board of Tax Appeals with specific instructions for it to do its statutory duties, which is to address the arguments made to it and give a detailed explanation as to why it accepts or rejects those arguments or the appraisal and the specific components of that appraisal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.